in the two systems of God in the universe. And it may be helpful that the word systems may also refer to a realm. Okay? So this is not a message on knowing or praying the will of God, but doing the will of God. And we are doing this in, as the Bible shows, two systems of God in the universe, or two realms. And this is, for the most part, a rather new thought, because the emphasis has been, and it's okay that it was, that the emphasis were in the system of grace. We are living in the realm of grace, and this is absolutely correct, but it's only 50%. And in the New Testament, there are two rather short portions, two epistles, both written by Peter. And first epistle of Peter, the general subject is the Christian life under the government of God. Now, wherever we are living on the earth, we are in more than one system or one realm. For example, I'm in Anaheim, a city. So I'm under the government of the city of Anaheim. But the city is in the state of California. So there's a government in California. And California is one of 50 states in a big country. And so we're in that realm of the government of the country. We're in all three realms or systems simultaneously. And it's very important for us that we first come to understand and realize we're not only in one system, not only in one realm, grace, even though the present age can be called the age of grace. This is true. This is how we got saved and how the Lord supplies us by grace. But he is supplying us with grace in the context of the government of God. And we need to realize that we're under the government of God, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, it is a fact. And maybe this example might be helpful, that in about 1986, I had very severe pain in the center part of my body. And again, I asked Brother Rick, please bring me to the hospital. And so, after a couple of days, I found out that they said, we don't know the reason. But then one night, about midnight, the pain was intensified. And then they called in a particular doctor and told them, it's at midnight, but you have to have surgery now. This is a life or death matter. And so that took place within a realm, within a system. And I didn't realize this until I was released from the hospital after about 8 or 9 days. Then I had to be at home for a couple weeks. And I remember being alone. All the kids were in school and my wife was occupied. And then the Lord enlightened me. Ron, you are under the government of God. This situation that you required surgery was actually my governmental judgment on you for a particular matter. And I had had some close study of 1st and 2nd Peter and worked with Brother Lee for the life studies for publication. Then I realized I'm not only under authority, I'm under the government of God. And then a verse, around verse 6 of 1 Peter 5, something like this, you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And then I realized this is not only grace, this is government. And what took place that led up to this, God speaking governmentally is saying, never do that again. So then from that point on, I began to realize, not just as a theory, but as the aspects of our Christian life, I'm under and I'm in two systems, grace and government. And it's simply a fact. Again, it's not judgment or criticism. The vast majority of saints have very little awareness or consciousness of the government of God. That is why we need Peter's portion of the New Testament. And if you read carefully in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, you will find a description of the Lord Jesus living on the earth. He is the God manifested in the flesh. He was a God-man. But on the human side, he's living in this realm. And the Lord Jesus, as he was living on the earth, was living under the government of God. And because he was under the government of God, when he was being attacked, when he was being mistreated, when he was being charged of all kinds of things that he never did, he didn't respond by saying, wait a minute, don't you know who I am? I am God incarnated. I'm a God-man. I have authority in heaven and on earth. How dare you say this and treat me like this? Because the Lord himself was living under the government of God. You read toward the end of that chapter in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Lord just offered everything to God, whatever happened to him. He didn't defend, he didn't fight back, because he was living under God's government. He left the governing to God the Father. And in that same chapter of 1 Peter 2, we're told that Peter, that Jesus was the shepherd. He's our shepherd of our soul. And he's dwelling in us, shepherding us. But at the same time, while we are living under the government of God, the Lord inwardly is really caring for us. He's shepherding us. So this kind of opens the way for what I'm trying to share with you is two systems, two realms. And we need to be doing the will of God in the system of grace, in the realm of grace. This is quite familiar with us, but we have to realize at the same time, simultaneously, we are also living and doing the will of God in another system, in another realm. And that is the government of God. And whether we know it or not, we, our entire Christian life up until the present moment, has been under the government of God. And so we need to see, we need to learn, then we need to live this way, because we are doing the will of God. If we are sincere about doing the will of God, we need to know these two systems. We need to understand the system, the realm of grace, and also the system and realm of government. So I hope this is somewhat clear. This is a general subject. I repeat, doing the will of God in the two systems of God in the universe. So now we will examine these two systems and see how they are related and how our doing the will of God takes place in these two systems, these two realms. So point one, God has two systems in the universe. One we call the system of grace, and the other we call the system of government. And I would draw your attention to those verses, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6 and 10, that I would just encourage you, when you are able and have the time, carefully read and maybe pray read those verses, and then carefully read the footnotes, because this will be quite enlightening for all of us. A, everything related to the church, the Holy Spirit, regeneration, our salvation, and our being God's children are within the system of grace. And even though we're familiar with this, I'd like to emphasize it. And I just remember, must have been more than 30 years ago, I was reading a life study that I had worked on, but I was reading it as if I'd never read it before. And Brother Lee mentioned a simple prayer that he had every morning at the beginning of the day. And I wasn't trying to imitate him, but I learned to follow his leading. So every day, I just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, please supply me today's measure of grace. You know what will take place today. You know that I can only live a Christian life by grace. It's only by your grace that I can pass through something, that I can endure something, or even possibly overcome something. And the last verse in the entire Bible is about the grace of Christ Jesus be with all the saints. God's final word. So we cannot overemphasize the realm of grace. There's no other way to live the Christian life. There's no way to live in the realm of God's will and is to have grace. And it's not just something you just pray one time to say, Lord, from now on, while I'm here, may I have grace every day. But the Lord knows what kind of day is set before us. And he knows what degree of grace we will need. And this is the key in many ways to eventually being an overcoming believer. I don't say overcome, an overcomer. You read Revelation 2 and 3, when he's speaking to the he who is overcoming, not he who is an overcomer, but he who is overcoming whatever the situation we're in. And it is grace that enables us not only to endure, but also to be under the throne and under God's authority. And so everything related, as we point in point A, is within the system of grace. B, the system of government is altogether different from the system of grace and is separate from the system of grace. So we need to pay our attention here until it reaches in us, there's an equal emphasis on grace and government. In the system of government, God has an independent will, and he operates according to his own pleasure. And so, when we're living under the government of God, God is very active. And let's be clear, there's one kind of judgment when we are at the judgment seat of Christ. That will determine our position in the coming age. But in this age, God in his government is in control of so many things. And in this matter, his will is independent. He just may do something. It's not something that we agree with or not. This is a governmental action on his part. And so, like I mentioned before, that experience I had, you're going through this surgery because of a certain situation you were in, and then to realize this is governmental judgment and governmental dealing. Two, God's government refers to how God works, manages, and arranges things according to his plan and will. Now, please look carefully here. Some of these words, God's government refers to how God works, how God manages, how God arranges things. How? According to his plan and will. I don't know if some of the late Middle Ages saints and even those beyond middle age. I remember asking a brother who was a doctor, but his specialty was caring for elderly people. And I asked him, I was about 74, I said, when will I be considered an elderly person? And then he paused for a moment. He said, 75. Well, that's been quite a while ago, close to 10 years. You're in another realm. And looking back from my personal history, in fellowship with the Lord, just now understanding, Lord, no, why, Lord, now I can understand why you didn't let me do that. Why you didn't allow me to have that girl be my girlfriend when I was 19. And now I have to thank you for it. That would have been terrible. She never would have gone with me into the Lord's recovery. And so we can look back upon this governmental arrangement, which is according to his plan and his will. And so don't expect that God the Father is going to have fellowship with you and say, I'm going to give you a full description of the plan or of my will, but to realize actually, there's nothing accidental in our Christian life. Everything is under God's governmental rule. KC, the system of government works on a different principle from the system of grace. And then I just draw your attention, if you are inclined, to read that footnote 3 on 1 Peter 2:21. The system of government works on a different principle from the system of grace. We need to learn this because we are in two systems at the same time. D, from the beginning, God has been trying to usher in his governmental system, and he will continue this work until the end. Well, when God has made a decision governmentally, and he begins the process, nothing will stop him. His characteristic is, I will continue this work until the end. He's not like those mentioned in the church in Revelation 3 about the recovered church, like in the 16th century, 15th century, when you have the denominations coming. They started, but they did not complete. God's characteristic is what he begins, he continues until the end. And so there's a plan and an aspect of his governmental will for us. And it will continue until the end. And I wonder, even at the present moment, well, then what is the end? And my understanding is the end is that God has completed his plan and will for us. And we will reach the end in one of two options. We can experience the Lord's governing until the end, and that is, he completed it and made us ready for rapture. It was during our lifetime on the earth that he was able to carry out his governmental plan until the end. Otherwise, he'll continue his work to carry out his governmental will during the next age. And now just a little sidebar comment based upon something at the end of chapter 12 of Luke. I'm not quoting exactly, but the thought is accurate. That there are two categories of genuine Christians when they stand before the judgment seat of God. And the two categories are those who knew God's will and plan and economy, and others can say, millions of saints, we can honestly say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know. It's not an excuse. It's just an honest response. Where I was, they never taught me this. I never knew this. And the Lord would say, I know. But those who did not know what my will and plan was, you will only experience a small number of, you could say, I wouldn't say punishment, but dealing with during the 1,000 years. You didn't know. So you don't get that many stripes. But then here are those that knew the truth, but didn't do it. Then the Lord will say, my judgment toward you in this matter is stronger because you knew it. You can't honestly say, I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the kingdom. I didn't know about the judgment seat. And I thought I was just ready to go to my place in heaven. So it's a blessing for all of us to know the truth. But my beloved brothers and sisters, we need to realize Our knowing makes us responsible much more than other believers who don't know. And so when I began to consider this, I realized, Lord, I'd rather know than not know. I thank you that the truth has been made known through the ministry of the age. But Lord, I realize I have much responsibility now to experience and then to do according to your will and according to your plan. Okay, point E. We must learn to acknowledge God's government. If we are oblivious to God's government, we are lawless in the eyes of God. In message 4, I'll have much to say concerning Matthew 7:21, that if we are oblivious to God's government, in the eyes of God, we are lawless. And the vast majority of Christians are lawless. That doesn't mean that they are deliberately rebellious, but just in their being and the direction of their daily living is lawless, because they're not under the government rule. And then point F, God's intention is that we would respect his government. He has no intention for us to annul his government. This is a weighty point. But if we are to do the will of God, not just know about it, but do it, then we need to know the systems where it's done. And we need both sides, not only grace, but government. And I have this responsibility before the Lord while I'm speaking to you to make this truth clear and applicable. And then I'm released from this particular requirement. And then all the responsibility shifts to you. And now you realize, if I want to really do the will of God, I need to know and I need to respect God's government. He has no intention to annul his government. And I believe many of you that were parents and your children went through teenage years and other times, that they were under your authority. And in certain matters, you just realized that you cannot annul my responsibility as your father or mother. And so this is just a fact, whether it may not sound enjoyable, but this is an aspect of where we are. Just in a human way, look at, you're all under a human government. The fact that you're living in the government of God spiritually doesn't mean that I'm not under the government here. So this gives us some understanding of this point. Okay, Romans 2, when the Lord Jesus was on earth, He was under God's government and lived under God's government. Because the Lord lived under God's government, he committed all his sufferings to God. The one who judges righteously. Judging righteously is a matter of God's government. I wonder if you've had an experience of this point. But the Lord put me on a test maybe 18 years ago regarding this matter of being under God's government and committing my sufferings to God. Because someone attacked another brother and me, especially me in a particular matter. And even he went to court and he was going to bring us before a judge and demand such and such. And soon as we heard this, we had this response, Lord, we commit this kind of suffering to God. We don't try to deal with this. That's why in 1 Corinthians, around chapter 6 or 7, maybe verse chapter 5, I'm not clear, that it's, Paul made it very clear that a brother should not take another brother and accuse him before a judge. We're not in this realm. And so all of us are going to experience this point repeatedly. If we're under God's government, we realize we are committed. All his sufferings to him. Why? He is the one who judges righteously. Judging righteously is a matter of God's government. And the judging depends on God regarding when and how. We may want it to happen immediately. Deal with this situation. Deal with this person right now. Well, we have to be very careful. Now you're demanding God to do what you want, instead realizing, I commit it to you. I trust you with it. Your government is righteous. You will take care of it in your way and in your time. B, on the one hand, when the Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the Savior to deliver men from sin. This was his work under the system of grace. On the other hand, God's desire is for the Lord Jesus to establish his authority and heavenly kingdom through the work of the cross, with the result that heaven's reign will be brought to the earth. So this shows the two aspects of Christ's ministry, of grace and government. The Roman numeral 3, the system of grace perfects the system of government. This is a very precious section, and it will help us to see the relationship between grace and government. So the system of grace perfects the system of government. God our Father knows that apart from grace, we cannot do the will of God under God's government. So therefore, we have the system of grace to perfect the system of government, not in itself, but in our Christian life. So God is not just saying, you are under my government, under my authority, do whatever I command, that's it. No, he realizes this is a challenging thing for you. I want you to be trained, to be perfected concerning my government, and I'll do this by the system of grace. I will give you superabounding grace. This is so precious. Just to thank God and praise God for his grace committed to us for this reason. Those who are saved in this age must learn the fundamental lesson of not frustrating government with his grace. Well, what is this saying? Well, this could be just kind of a religious thought that here we are, we've been saved, but there's a fundamental lesson. That is, we cannot frustrating God's government with his grace and say, Lord, aren't you a God of grace? Isn't the final word in the Bible about grace? Isn't the age of grace? It's almost as if we just negate government. But we cannot set aside the government for the sake of grace. We should never think that we can annul God's system of government simply because we are under the system of grace. And a statement like this enlightens our inward responses to say, Lord, isn't the age of grace? Are you not the God of grace? Isn't there a verse that says that God is the God of grace? Another verse about Christ is the grace. Another verse, the Spirit is grace. I have the triune God is grace. But it's a big mistake to think we can apply the grace to avoid government of God. The system of government is not for the system of grace. Rather, the system of grace is here to perfect the system of government. Well, grace is truly all-inclusive. It's being applied to all kinds of things in our human needs. But we need to realize that the system of the government is not for the system of grace. It's the opposite. Rather, the system of grace is here to perfect the system of government. And so as the Lord is supplying you with grace day after day, the all-sufficient grace, we need to learn this aspect that he is perfecting the system of government to us. He knows that we are lacking in many things. We're not rebellious, but we just are not familiar. We've never heard much about this. When was the last time we read through 1st and 2nd Peter, focusing on this thought, the government of God? And the Lord knows with a loving concern. So that is why I'm supplying grace to you in many ways, but I want you to know a particular way. The system of grace is to perfect the system of government. So we're all in the process of experientially having the government of God perfected in us. We're all in different stages. B, grace always goes along with government and supplements God's system of government. Grace always goes along with government. Now, from this point on, it needs to penetrate all of us. But now the Lord is making it clear to us that grace always, not sometimes, grace always goes along with government. So in our daily living as children of God, there shouldn't be any separating grace and government. The grace supplements God's system of government. Brothers and sisters, how are we going to be co-kings in the coming age? Surely, the co-kings will be sent throughout the earth. I just wonder, inwardly with a kind of smile, I just wonder who he will send to Norway, who will be reigning in Finland, in other places. Well, of course, we don't know. But anyone who is to be a co-king, reigning for 1,000 years in the present age, we need grace to strengthen the government, God's system of government. Because man rebelled against the system of government, the system of grace was brought in. Now we thank God the Father. He didn't say, "You have rebelled against the system of government. I send you to the lake of fire. You're following Satan in his rebellion. Now he's working in you, and that's what you did." But what kind of love and care is this? We rebelled against the system of government, so the system of grace was brought in to each one of us. Isn't this precious? It doesn't come to you and say, "You rebelled. You rebelled against my government, against my authority, against the system of government. I'm being righteous. I have the right to deal with you." But the Lord said, grace will be brought in. All of us need that. It's so touching. That's why don't be afraid Don't worry about the governmental part. The Lord knows where all of us are. And he's bringing forth grace to enable us to honor and obey the government of God. What a wonderful God we have. How balanced he is. Two, the system of grace brings us to salvation and restoration so that we will obey God's system of government. The thought here is that God saving us, redeeming us, was not simply that we won't go to the lake of fire, but it's the way for us to be recovered to God's government. See, the system of grace brings us to salvation and restoration. Why? So that we will obey God's system of government. That's why we were all saved. So that we could obey God's system of government. And so we, for the most part, the leaders in Christianity, they only have half the truth here. Christ died on the cross for your redemption. You believe in him, that he's the Son of God, you have eternal life. Now everything is fine. But where is the proper teaching that this brings you under God's system of government? This is why you've had this experience. Three, the more humble a person is, the more experienced he will be in the system of God's government. The more humble a person is before God. And I'm referring again to that experience where I had that kind of surgery under the government of God. And then I realized that the grace will enable us to be under God's government. Grace never annuls government. Rather, grace makes a person yield to government. And again, I'm so thankful that we have with Brother Nee this example, that he was dealt with thoroughly by the Lord so that he would make the yield to the government. And so I'm going back to point three to put it together with four. The more humble a person is, the more experienced he will be. And so things are going to take place in various degrees among all of you, that we are humbled. The more humbled we are. And the Lord will arrange various things that before him in his government, our first response is to be subject to yield, to will the system of God government. So five again, grace gives us the ability to subject ourselves to government. God knows we cannot, by our own decision or ability, to subject ourselves to God's government. Grace gives us the ability. So we all need to be brought to the point where we can honestly say, I can't do it. That just for a moment, another sidebar comment. I've mentioned this a number of times. Said when I'm reading the New Testament in particular, and there are many verses that are commandments, like concerning marriage. And the Lord says to the brothers, love your wives, just the way Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Love your wife the way Christ loved the church. And so there are three steps. The first step is, amen. This is the word of God. I say amen. Point two, Lord, I can't do it. I can't be it. Then point three, the Lord says, I know. Let me do it. Let me be it. So applying this to living under the government of God, the first step is, this is in the Word. We have to honor the government of God. We say amen to that verse. But eventually, we will all be able to genuine with the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't be it. And the Lord has been waiting for us to know this. Then we have the third stage. Let me do it. Let me be it. Back to the verse in Ephesians 5. Brother, let me and you love your wife the way I loved the church and gave myself up for her. So this is applying how we can we subject ourselves for government. Six, these two systems of God mutually perfect each other. The more we receive grace from God, the more we will know how to maintain God's government. So please, after hearing this kind of message, don't just say, okay, Lord, from now on, I'm going to honor your government. I'm going to obey your government. I'm under your authority from now on. We also need to realize this is the truth, but Lord, I need grace. The more we will know how to maintain God's government. And so I'm nearing the end in a few minutes. With this message, you might say, what's the main point? Was that we need more and more grace to live under the government of God. We're not separating the two. Then see, in the new heaven and new earth, grace and government will unite to become one system. So now, in this age and in the next age, there will be two systems. But in the new heaven and the new earth, grace and government will be one. One system. So that will be for eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. But that's, from our point of view, a long way off. What we need now is to understand grace and government and how they're related. One, the system of grace and the system of government will join together and become one system. So the Lord is leading us in this way. And what will be with all the believers in the new heaven and the new earth, we have reason to believe this is what the overcoming saints will be like during the 1,000 years. They have reached this point that grace and government work together. And so when they are assigned to rule over these cities or this nation, they exercise God's authority with both grace and government. And even in the same principle that in the church life, that those who are put in a position of responsibility to be a leading brother, or they're actually an elder, they have to represent God's government with grace. But at least a few times some saints came to me with deep, deep pain within. And they said, the two of us, husband and wife, we made this kind of mistake in the church life. And this co-worker came and applied what he thought was authority to us with no grace. And I just fear for him. That conversation has been recorded. You read the end of Matthew 12, that kind of talk. Because the saints need grace even while they're being dealt with under God's government. Otherwise, we are overstepping. Very serious mistake. Both systems will be united in the Lord Jesus, who stands for both aspects of God's work. Quite an endearing aspect of the Lord Jesus. These two systems are united in him, who stands for both aspects of God's work. On the one hand, he works on the basis of the system of grace. On the other hand, he works on the basis of the system of government. So now I'm bringing this to a conclusion. I hope that you can see now this needs to become experiential to us. These two systems, that we are living in these two systems. Yes, they are united in the Lord Jesus, but we need to realize the distinctions. I'm repeating as I finish. He works on the basis of the system of grace. The Lord is going to work in you and with you on the system of grace. But at the same time, he will work on us based on the system of government. And so from this point on, even especially if this is something brand new about government and grace, the Lord will lead us through. He will guide us. He will train us. He will perfect us, that we will live in these two systems, these two realms simultaneously, the system of grace, the system of government, until the time when grace and government are one. Thank the Lord, our God of grace, our God of government. Amen.